move past everything before the full confusion comes in. So I'm not sure how short and long the presentation by SABC. If they take long, the full contingent will be here by the time they finish. It will be a very, very long day in that case. Welcome, members. I hope you enjoy your weekend and the holiday. But given the document which was given to us Thursday, you might not have had any weekend or a holiday. But I suppose that's what you are paid for anyway. But it's fine. We look into that. Welcome, SABC. I'm told that the board today is led by the Deputy Chairperson of the SABC in the absence of the Chairperson. Group CEO, they're also welcome with your team. We are no longer having brand new people now. The CFO is no longer brand new. Now it's part of the finish. It was past the brand new stage, I suppose. Welcome everyone and the other board members who are here. DOC is here and media people are also here and everyone who's here. We are taking the SABC strategic plan and budget for 2012-2013. Members, I'm told that Honorable Schneeman has been discharged from hospital. He's still around Cape Town in Acacia. Like I said last time, that he might not be with us almost a month or more. He's supposed to return back on duty after 18 May. But when I was discussing with him, we are doubting that he might be back at that time. He might end up coming late in June or so on. It's not that well. Been using crutches and so on, but at least has been discharged from the hospital. Honorable Murutua Mastori, she's also not well. In and out, doctor consultation and hospital. We are not sure when she will finally come back and so on. My advice to them was that they must take as long as they can to heal. So that they come back when they are fine. I'm told that Honorable Mtambi, she's attending strategy. She'll be joining us late. And Honorable Lazi, attending a meeting, she'll be joining us probably late. Honorable Killen, attending party work, she might join us after 11. We assume that one of the others, they are still going to join us as we are proceeding and so on. Welcome back, Sandile. Our researcher is also back, also discharged from hospital. When I was talking to Honorable Schneeman, I was asking him, don't you think that when you come back, it might be me who is admitted? Because the committee will seem to be having quite a terrible time in terms of our wellness and so on. We must look on our program, probably the program of the committee. We'll look into that. Deputy Chairperson, as I've already indicated, you are most welcome. But probably we must also acknowledge one of your achievements in relation of the agreement which we have signed with us. Following the issue, I'm told, is the three-year agreement, which at one point the committee raised an issue that this prepaid arrangement offer entering a discussion with Safa seems to be a challenge and so on. But we could see that you are making headway. I'm just raising that because it's one issue at one point we call SABC to come and deal with when you had a problem at one particular time and so on. So congratulations. We hope that you continue to do the good work in all the other areas and so on. I don't want to waste a lot of time. You are here so that we listen to you. I'll just send it over to you, Deputy Chair. Don't do what the Chair normally do, not to introduce others. Deputy Chair.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I want to greet honorable members who are here today gathered to listen to our presentation. From the outset, I want to express our heartfelt gratitude to be granted this opportunity to speak to you on this plan that we're going to present to you. This, we think, is a plan that is going to take us forward. This, we think, is a plan that has all the hallmarks of great successes. This, we think, is a plan that speaks to the changing environment in the digital space that we're operating in. This is a plan that I'm going to bring to you that has improved balance sheets, that speaks to the stability that is beginning to reign in the SABC. Notwithstanding perennial challenges, we are getting somewhere. And we are going to indulge you by virtue of the presentation I am going to put before you. But I also want to express the apologies of the Chair. He is unable to be with us today. Another board member, Danana, is also committed elsewhere. And Sister Claire is also not with us today. We want to finish the apologies. But I also want to take this opportunity to introduce our new bride. I'm going to ask the CEO to speak to the people who are here in terms of corporate relatives. But I just want to single one person out who stands out, and she is our new company secretary. Her name is Teresa Helden Hayes. She has 30 years experience under her belt. And we think with her stewardship in the board, she will be able to help us comply, help us meet all the regulatory frameworks that are pertinent to the craft and obligations of the SABC. I would want her to stand up so we acknowledge her. Teresa.
The only reason I'll clap my hands because she's wearing red. I've got a weakness of red.
We had very exciting candidates. Very exciting candidates that came forward, and I did indicate to other members of the committee that this is one interview which I find fascinating because all of us were unanimous in the choice of this particular candidate. So she comes with a lot of experience, which I think would stand us in good stead. Chair, we are presenting our major strategic plan, but we also want to indulge the members of the committee who have also submitted a supplementary document that speaks to the detailed breakdown of the quarterly targets. This is just a supplementary, but we will speak to the major document that we provided to you. And without much waste of time, I'm going to allow the group CEO to introduce members of the group who are here.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members, Chair of the committee. It is indeed a very humbling experience to come here all the time, and to also be in this beautiful room is very special for us. I'd like to introduce our team members. There's Gugu Duda right next to me, the CFO. Next to her is Dimitri Martinez, who is in my office helping me understand a whole range of things. Behind him is Jane Bhatia, who has been the acting company secretary for the past 4 months, and she's in the process of handing over to our new bride, as has been explained. Right at the back there in the red blazer is Nada Ochela, who is our regional general manager. Behind me is Suli Mutweni, who I've started, she has a new name from me now. She's now called Corruption Buster. This is the woman who keeps us on our toes in terms of what is going on in the organization. As you know, she has made several presentations to Parliament on a range of issues that were raised by both the AG and SIU. Next to her is Acting COO Saudi Mutweni. On the far.
Can you stand up or something?
And then the lady who's sitting at the back there in pink is Bessie Tugwana. She is the acting head of television. And that's about sums up the executive team.
Don't worry, that's the cloud because of the next time. Introduce the members of the board who are with us today. We have Advocate Tawe Masati, a member of the board. We have Susanna Foss, a stalwart in our politics, is here. Professor Pippa Green, a member of the board who is with us today. Sabelo Gina, a trade unionist by his own training, a leader in his own right, is here with us today. Elon Komtinde, a veteran in this field, is here with us today. Dr. Makesha, she's here with us today. Golding is also with us today. And our own spin doctor, Keza Kanyaho, is there at the back. Thank you, sir. Now you can proceed with the presentation. Thanks very much for the introduction.
Thank you very much, Chair. This first slide, I think, is an extremely telling slide because it tells the story of who the SADC is. The SADC is currently labeled as the biggest public broadcaster in the continent. And that responsibility is a massive one, which says our responsibility goes certainly beyond our borders. We take every single one of the entities that you see on the screen there, from 5FM, which recently won the best radio station in South Africa award, together with the best show in South Africa award, operating within a commercial space when it is in fact a public commercial station. We are incredibly proud of their achievement. To the 30FM, which also won the MTN best radio station, and it is a Twitter-based station, and it is doing incredible work around those areas. We have a whole range of the other stations. In effect, we have 15 public broadcasting service stations and 3 public commercial stations. I always insist on calling them public commercial. They are not just straightforward commercial. They are not a Hi-Fel or a 702. They are public commercial. We also have a particular station that sits on internet protocol. And that station, that station is Africa Channel, and people access it via the internet. It is a particularly special channel because it broadcasts in a range of foreign languages, including Portuguese and Kiswahili. It is owned, in particular, by government and has been ceded to the SABC for management. Been with the SABC for more than 10 years and services the African domain of our communications with Africa. Therefore, if we talk about NEPAD, it certainly helps us to deliver on our NEPAD communications requirements. It sources its content from throughout the continent through a number of journalists who sit throughout the continent. Therefore, it plays a very, very critical role. And then, of course, further down, we have below the Africa channel, there's XKFM. It is a very, very special station, which operates within an area that is highly depressed and is meant to serve the needs of the Khoi and the San communities. We have recently begun to review the languages that sit on this station because the Nama people are stating that they feel excluded from that station. So we are reviewing their strategy, and we're going to be tweaking them so that they begin to be truly representative of all the languages within that grouping. And then the rest, I think, you're fairly familiar with. There is the youth radio station, True FM, which when we talk about our radio FM transmitter network expansion, is very key because it provides for youth, and we do not have a national youth radio station. We are now looking at how we can utilize the existing transmitter space that has been made available to the SABC to take this little station and spread it throughout the country so that every youth who has any interest in what goes on in True FM has the ability to access it. It broadcasts a bit differently from the other radio stations in that it combines Xhosa and English. And the reason it does that is because it attempts to reach the youth who otherwise would not understand Xhosa. And that way it tries to be as representative as possible. It is currently broadcasting only within the Eastern Cape, but we do believe it has the ability to broadcast throughout the country. Having mentioned those special stations, I think it's also important to state a little bit of good news that concerns around the SAFM, which seemed to, at some point, it seemed that SAFM was losing audiences, that it was indeed starting to be perceived as irrelevant. Is building up very rapidly. And if you do take the trouble to listen to SAFM, you will realize that in our morning lineup, we have some very highly regarded journalists, such as Kolani Gwala, whose level of integrity is well known in the country. There are no holy cows when it comes to Kolani, and he makes us indeed very proud. And there are several new people who will be coming in from there. Oh, and we do have a man called Ashraf Garda, who is also highly, highly regarded within the broadcast journalism industry. Having stated those few radio stations, it doesn't mean that I am saying the others are not important. They're all very, very important. They all carry out a very, very powerful mandate.
I'm glad you said that, the good CEO, because I was going to take offense about the Kuala Kuala.
My apologies. You will be very pleased, Chairman, that we are looking at expanding the footprint of the Kuala Kuala as well, because as you know, a very strange phenomenon happens when you're driving through Mpumalanga. You will find that you're in Mpumalanga and you should be able to access Lekwala Kwala, but there are certain places where it dips, and that's because of the terrain. So once again, we're looking at the spare frequency that's available to expand it, and yes, now that you have stated your case, I think I have to fast track that. I forgot to mention another very special station, Ukhozi FM, which also won the best radio station within the PBS market. It currently has the highest number of listeners. I think on any given day, they actually do reach up to 15 million listeners. And it makes us unbelievably proud. It has a very, very strong support base from Zulu-speaking communities. And even as new radio stations mushroom within the KZN area, we do believe it is holding its own. And if I have left any other that any member may feel affronted for not mentioning, I apologize. But all of them are.
I want to cover mine, don't worry about it.
Thank you, sir. Now, if I may go to how we have structured this presentation. The members will remember that we delivered a hard copy document to the members on the 7th of March 2012. That hard copy document was for the strategy spanning the MTF period 2012 to 2016. Today's presentation is drawn from the document. So, members, please do not think that we are now presenting something different when you see it on the screen. It is exactly derived from the strategy document. How we have divided it is in terms of headings. We will do the overview and background of the SABC strategy, the broad strategic objectives, the SABC integrated turnaround plan, and I will make some reference to risk management and fraud prevention plans. That last point is very important because we are now coming out, I will say that very clearly, we are now coming out of an era where we were plagued by possibly corruption within the organization. There was a serious laxity in controls, and those laxities are part of the reason why the SABC went into the serious dip financially that it did in 2008. We have now made risk management, fraud prevention, and corruption detection central to how we do our business. In other words, none of the activities that the members have read about, have queried very strongly, have expressed very strong opinion on, have gone unmanaged. We have a very, very strong focus on those areas. So there will be some mention of that. I will not go into the agenda. If I may go to the vision. Given the developmental mandate of the SABC, the fact that the SABC exists within an environment where you have citizens that have, up to today, continued to feel a sense of disempowerment. Its vision that it is broadcasting for total citizen empowerment therefore remains very relevant, even today. Our mission is expressed in very broad terms, and that is to be a people-centered. And by people-centered, what we mean is from a public perspective, as well as from an internal people perspective, we are a people-intensive organization. And later on, when we speak to the issues around headcount and the cost of employees, you will begin to understand why we will continue to invest in people. It's crucial for us. Without the people, we can't do anything. We are putting content back into center stage. The members have decried in the past the quality of content that sits on our platform, why it is that we have, as the chairman refers to it, the bold and the... Because of the bold and the bloody fool. Because the content really does not speak to building a nation. However, we also recognize that we need the money that comes out of the advertisers who put their money on that particular content. It is a very sad indictment that we have to defer to content that really doesn't build, and it is international for that matter, so it doesn't really speak to the South African fiber. However, we do need the money. And therefore, we will have to continue carrying some of this content. we are looking at ways of getting out of that which is highly destructive without harming our ability to generate revenue. Very important. We are also a technology-enabled organization that is part of our mission, and that is why we have embraced the advent of DTT and new mobile technologies, and we will be talking to those later. We have to essentially be a strategically focused organization. We have no doubt that the SABC is a highly strategic asset of South Africa. And if we do not make sure that we safeguard its business, that we grow its business, that it is sustainable, then we will be failing this nation. And to reemphasize again, we are a public broadcaster, and we plan to remain sustainable for as long as we remain relevant to this country. Our values are very important. They speak to everything that we do. The first value is that of conversations and partnerships. Chairman Khulwane congratulated us on the SAFA agreement. We have moved out of a mode that says we will wait for people to approach us to their games and we will give them whatever we can. We are now saying to everybody who works with us, you are our partner. Content providers are our partner. We will have these conversations with them on a continuous basis. Now, I am not leaving out here civil society, because it is by virtue of their existence that we exist. The various parties, the elements of stakeholders who may at one point or another feel aggrieved because of certain practices within the SABC, we pull them in as our partners. Now, the one partnership we're particularly happy about at this point, the partnership we have with our trade unions, where for the first time in the longest of time since labor unions were made legal in South Africa, I think we have experienced the best relationship between ourselves and the unions thus far. The second value is the restoration of human dignity. That once again speaks to our developmental state, to all the critical elements that we need to make sure that we cover and we take care of. We have a society and community that continue to feel like they are not treated properly. Our responsibility is to make sure that we represent their issues on our channels as much as possible. We are about saving lives. We are about reaching out to people who have no way of having their voices heard. And we do take care to make sure that we represent them in most of our content. And if anybody asks what our true reason for existence is, I would say the third value, which is building a common future, is probably the most critical. South Africa is a nation that has come out of a terrible apartheid system. Through the tenacity of South Africans, we went into an era of democracy without having a civil war. It's unheard of in other parts of the world. And I think South Africans, as a rule, are a people who really want this country to succeed, who really see themselves continuing to exist here with their children and their children and their children's children. And therefore, it is very important that whatever we broadcast from the public broadcaster goes towards building that sense of unity, that sense of national cohesion, that sense of a common future. When a government speaks of a nation at work, when it speaks of delivering on cohesiveness for the nation, we listen very critically And we make sure that we build on those values within our concept. Now, if I may give an overview and a background of our business. And the overview and background will, to quite a degree, begin to expose the challenges that we face as a public broadcaster. These are challenges that I think it's important that we understood, not to be saying that we do not want to do all these things. We need to be understood to be saying we need to have our funding model come back under scrutiny. We realize the importance of the public domain in which we operate, the importance of mandates, the importance of ensuring that South Africans are informed, they are educated, and they are entertained. We fully understand our mandate to go on DTT and to possibly end up with 18 channels. However, the challenge of funding will always remain central, and our appeal would be that the challenges I'm going to be raising here be viewed within the context of what government can do to also assist the SABC to be able to meet its public mandate. Now, we are informed by the Broadcasting Act, which started as a white paper on broadcasting. There was a triple inquiry report that came out, And out of that came the Broadcasting Act, which governs us. The obligations arising from the Broadcasting Act are expressed in license conditions for our television channels and our radio stations. And our regulations are determined by ICASA, who go into very detailed allocations of what we need to be doing and how much time we should allocate to each content type that we run on any one of our channels. In terms of the legislative charter, the SABC is charged with meeting the broadcasting needs of all South Africans. And it is for that reason that we have our radio services in practically every region, operating within communities within every region, and therefore being able to meet the information requirements, the needs of all South Africans. And that is why we broadcast in all official South African languages. And as I have explained earlier when we talk about the XKFM, we are even reviewing within that small radio broadcasting station that continues to be very special to the people it serves, to look at how do we expand the language mandate. So we will be ending up with perhaps even having as much as 15 languages within our platform. Now, in line with the Broadcasting Act, the SABC was incorporated into a limited liability company in 2004 with two operational divisions, Public Broadcasting Services and Commercial Public Broadcasting Services, which I have already outlined to you in the previous slides. As said earlier, we have 18 radio stations and 3 television channels. SABC 1, 2, and 15 radio channels are public broadcasting services. And SABC 3, together with 3 radio stations, are public commercial broadcasting services. And those are the ones whose mandate is to generate money so that they can fund the public broadcaster. We reach about 24 million people daily in all official South African languages. Now, if the statistics are true that South Africa has about 50 million people, what this effectively means is we are not reaching everybody. And we have recognized that need, and that is why we are rolling out low-power transmitters throughout the country, and we are making use of the spare FM frequency spectrum that has been made available, because we do realize ultimately, every single South African must be able to reach us, as long as they have a TV set and a radio. We We are better bound to meet our lifetime conditions, which we embrace fully. And we have to abide by regulations as set out by ICASA, outlining our minimum quotas and our on areas within South Africa. Our public mandate is covered through a mix of revenues. We have approximately 80% that comes out of commercial revenue, and that is where the bulls and the bloody fools becomes important, because that's where advertisers put money, and therefore we are able to say 80%. I'm saying approximately, because the number adjusts year on year, depending on the commercial activity we actually are able to generate out of there. Approximately 18% comes from our licensees' revenue. And later on, I will expose the members to what actually happens around the license revenue collection, and possibly some of the assistance we may require from the house to help us deal with the challenges around that. And then approximately 3% comes from the fiscus. And again, that is where our appeal comes in terms of government helping us to meet the major financial obligations that are going to come out of the rollout of CCT, the content requirements, the infrastructure requirements, and indeed the people requirements, because those systems will not run on their own. We will have to recruit more people to help us run those various channels. Something that is very important, as spelled out in Section 6 of the Broadcasting Charter, the Broadcasting Act, is that the SABC must enjoy freedom of expression and journalistic, creative, and programming independence. Very important statement. And I think it is important to state also that within the freedom of expression and journalistic, creative, and programming independence, it is also crucial for us to be seen to be balanced in how we put matters out on our lines. We are very clear that freedom of expression does not mean that we will allow blasphemy. We will allow racism to place itself out, xenophobia, the abuse of women and children. Those are things that we abhor. And our journalists are beginning to understand, and our content creators are beginning to understand that while we say we have freedom of expression, we should also ensure that the values of the SABC, and indeed of this country, are enshrined within how we manage the content. We therefore must encourage the development of South African expression by providing in all South African official languages a wide range of programming. If I may just very quickly go through the key requirements for the public services, making ourselves available in all official languages, I will keep repeating this, because I think it's important for the House to understand that when we say in all official languages, it all translates into our ability to ensure that we are able to handle every single South African language with due care and dignity, and we do not dumb down on any audience. That therefore means very serious investment in content, in journalists, in on-air people who make it happen. In everything that we do, it means very serious investment. We are enjoined to strive for higher quality in the languages that are served. We are also required to provide significant news and public affairs programming, which meets the highest of standards of journalism, as well as fair and unbiased coverage, impartiality, balance and independence from government, commercial, and other interests. We have to include significant amounts of educational programming both curriculum-based and informal education topics. And that is why you will see on SABC 2 in particular, we have very curriculum-based content that unfortunately can only come after our prime time. And the reason it comes after our prime time is simply because, once again, we have to use prime time to generate revenue. Therefore, we can only put our curriculum-based content post-prime time, shoulder time, where we do not need to be making a lot of money. And in fact, there is no advertising that exists within that period. I do believe that in as much as we have not been able to fully market that content, but then schools are aware of it, and the young people for whom it is geared, and those are mostly in high school from around grade 10 to grade 12, do tune in to watch Metric uploaded whenever it comes on. We must also enrich the cultural heritage of South Africa by providing support for traditional and contemporary artistic expression. We have been asked why we partner with the Summers, with the Cape Town Jazz, with the Standard Bank Jazz. It is because we are obligated to cover the cultural heritage of South Africa. But also we go beyond that. We also cover traditional music. We cover the SATMA, South African Traditional Music Awards. We cover religious music. We basically cover every type of music expression and tradition that is available in this country. We have to strive to offer a broad range of services targeting particularly children, women, the youth, and the disabled. As you know, we currently broadcast in the region of 5 hours of children's content, with SABC 1 carrying the bulk of the children's content. The youth, SABC 1, is our youth-oriented channel, and therefore they have a number of content there that they can relate to and they can use. And for people with disabilities, we are working very hard to ensure that we bring in the type of technology that will enable full access for people with disabilities. Things like closed captioning. As we move into DTT, we will be looking at how we approach the multilingual approach on our platforms. And as we move into mobile technology, I'm quite certain that those members of our community who are disabled and have no access to television will be able to utilize the new technology to be able to access the information. We also have programs made by the corporation as well as those commissions from the independent production sector. I think this is an important aspect because I would like the members to recognize that currently, the SABC outsources 100% of all their content other than news and current affairs. So the investment in the production sector, when the question around job creation arises, we as the SABC can stand up and say, indeed, we are fully involved in job creation. We are at a stage where given the requirements of DPT and the fact that we will have a north and south regional channels, we are now getting into enabling people in the rural communities, in the areas where the two channels will dominate, to start developing their own production companies with the assistance of the existing ones. And we are, in fact, going to begin incentivizing big production houses that have been in existence for a long time to start drawing in young people, old people, any person who may have an interest in the sector, drawing them in, training them, so that because the more we do that, the more vibrant we will have our production sector evolve. And therefore, the job creation aspect of what we're trying to do will indeed increase. Then, of course, we are expected to also do minority support. I won't go through this slide because it quickly goes into all the pieces of legislation, the acts that govern what we do. But I have to put it up so that you can recognize that we are governed by a very broad range of acts and legislation. Within the regulatory environment, if I can just talk to the question of defining sports of national interest. We have gone through a process where the national interest sports have been defined fully, and the actual definition comes in the next slide. Where is it? I'm sorry. It's two slides down. That last bullet point gives a sense of what is regarded as sports that we must cover throughout. In the first bullet point, all the sports must involve the events that we cover must involve the South African national senior team. So Bafana Bafana, without a doubt, we have to broadcast their games. The event must be the final of a national knockout competition. That is why we will have the Vodacom, the APSA, and the many other ranges of competitions. The event must be final and of an international knockout competition featuring a South African team. I think I tend to dwell too much on the soccer, but it means that if there is cricket, rugby, the FIFA World Cup, the World Cup, the African Cup of Nations, the Commonwealth Games, the Olympic Games, the All Africa Games, the CAF Champions League final, and the Mandela Cup final, they all qualify as sports of national interest. The cost of enabling all of those sports to find space within our schedule is once again extremely high. There is a time when a report was given that we had actually exceeded 1.4 billion rand in investment on sports. As we move into the DTT environment and we have a specific sports channel, I can see us needing to invest more and more. And for us, DTT provides a big opportunity because finally, we will not have to be highly selective in what we broadcast through the three channels, but we can comfortably say whenever a sporting code and season comes around, we will be able to carry it throughout. I'm going to start moving a little more rapidly. Regulations on advertising. It's important for the House to recognize one major matter. And that is, in terms of ICASA regulations, we are allowed to advertise only 12 minutes per hour, within only 12 minutes per hour of each program. Now, of those 12 minutes, 9 minutes is allocated for commercial advertising. And only 3 minutes is dedicated to channel self-promotion. We are not complaining about the 3 minutes. What we are concerned about is that 9 minutes really don't give us sufficient time for us to be able to raise the high level of revenue that we require to be able to do the work that we do. Our executive summary is as follows. Over the past 3 years, the SADC focused on stability, on organizational renewal and rebuilding, and on financial sustainability. When we talk about financial sustainability, we have to make reference to the government guarantee and the loan that the SADC had to raise and is currently sitting with Nedbank in order to meet its obligations. A the House knows, we were allowed a government guarantee of $1.4 billion. We utilized $1 billion of that. And when the CFO takes you through the financials, you will see how we are performing there. We are determined as an organization not to draw down on the remaining $400 million. Simply because we believe that as we realign the organization, as we go into a serious culture of performance management where non-performers will indeed have to be shown the door. And I must add there that the trade unions are in complete agreement with us on that aspect. They also agree that we cannot afford to carry people whose only interest is to get money, to get paid at the end of the month, and the company gets no value out of them. So performance management is highly, highly critical for us. Through that, we believe that we really do not have to draw down the rest of the money. The CFO will tell you how well we are doing there, and in fact, we are doing extremely well, but the challenges that I've already mentioned. Now, the medium-term strategic view governing the period up to, from now, 2012 to 2015, will focus on the following. In this financial year, 12 to 13, it's the implementation of our digital content strategy. Major investment, financial investment required. 13 to 14, we will be concluding our government guarantee deliverables. The CFO will take you through the plan of how we are going to be doing that, and she will show you in her tables how over the 3 years, we are going to be paying back the loan to the bank. And then in the financial period 2014 to 2015, which is when the dual illumination period ends, we are hoping at that point to have completed our digital migration and multi-channel offering. Our DPT strategy. I think I must preface this part of the presentation by stating that the SABC and Centex have developed a very strong symbiotic relationship. I think it's important to note that as we develop our plans, we do them in complete consultation and agreement and debate and strategizing with Centex. Now, while this presentation is not going to give too much in-depth information, I want to assure the House that we are going to be developing a very, very tight, very concise strategy between ourselves and our carriers that will fully address any questions that the House may have, which this presentation may not be able to provide at this point. The House will probably be aware that we are required to launch our digital migration strategy with new channels. And then, however, SABC 1, 2, and 3 will remain as they currently are. The PBS and TCDS radio channels, radio stations, will migrate into DTT as part of our universal service expansion. I think it's important to also note that as we roll out the 300 low-power transmitter networks that will be rolled out over the three-year MTFP period under review, with 100 being dedicated to this current financial year, that we recognize also that the low-power transmitters may actually not be sufficient in certain areas to deliver 100% to the audiences there. And that therefore, we are looking to Centex to help us with additional carriage on their platform. So because it is much easier for satellites to reach the rough terrain than it is for terrestrial transmitter networks. We are looking to provide a range of services over mobile TV platforms, and in fact, currently, we are testing one platform, and we're going to be inviting other service providers to come and join us in the testing before we finally decide exactly what we're going to do. Now, in terms of how we intend to stabilize the company, it's very clear that in terms of our turnaround strategy intervention, that our focus has to be on revenue enhancement, cost reduction measures, audience attraction and retention measures. I've already told you about what's happening on SAFM already. We have very big, exciting plans around SABC3, where we are quite certain that we're going to see audiences coming up. Very big plans around news, because it has been reported very widely that our news has lost audiences. We are working very hard. And unfortunately, for us to see the results, the information doesn't come to us as rapidly as we would like to. However, I want to believe that already at this point, we are starting to see the corner, to get to the corner. Okay, English is not escaping. It's only my seventh language. Brand and reputation building remains very critical. We lost ground with all the negative reporting that has been made about the SABC, but we're working very hard to turn that around. And I think it's important for the House to know that the advertising industry, who are very critical to our revenue generation, have come out in full support of the SABC. I have personally, together with one of the board members, Ms. Claire O'Neill, been out to address members of the industry. We have dealt with the Cape Town group, and we have also managed the Johannesburg group. We are still going to go to Durban. And the feedback we are getting from them is very positive. And I want to even suspect that our figures are going to be improving even better after all those contacts. On the reputation building, we accept that possibly our relationship with the press has not been that great. And the press are very critical to us in terms of our reputation building. Every time they carry a negative story about the SABC, and it is clear that that story appears because they are not properly informed, we find ourselves in a difficult position. First, we have to observe that there are certain matters that, by their very nature, are highly confidential and cannot be discussed in the media. However, we have this sad phenomenon of leaks. And in the nature of leaks, it's very hard to discover who has leaked what. And before we know it, the story has been leaked, it's in the public domain, it is being debated vigorously many times on the basis of supposition, suspicion, and with very little truth attached to it. We have suffered from that tremendously. We do recognize that we have to wrap up a lot of these issues that have the tag confidentiality. And I am very strict about confidentiality. Where a matter is confidential, it is between an employer and the employee, it has to be observed as confidential. And therefore, I refuse to engage the press on matters like that. I don't want to prejudice any individual, and I don't want the company to be prejudiced in the process. And I hope the members will see that as an attempt at practicing the highest level of management integrity. Okay, our strategy overview. What are we going to do in terms of our job as broadcasters? Number one, we are very clear that the taste of South African audiences are changing. We serve a very dynamic population of people that are moving up from their LSM levels, previously low, to higher LSM levels. We are seeing a great migration from rural communities into city centers. We are seeing very high levels of aspirations developing amongst our people. And those aspirations have to be served properly through the public media. Therefore, we are putting audiences back into the center of the content that we provide. Here's the challenge. The audiences, however, have a very wide choice on the media that they consume. This means that as the SABC, and as you know, we have a very vibrant commercial media who operate outside of the SABC. This means that we have to consistently be looking at ways to remain relevant. And relevance is really measured in terms of the content quality that we put out and therefore the audiences who follow our content. There's also very fierce competition for control in the converged broadcasting space. And the change in market conditions are having serious and negative impact on revenue in the long term. And I will expand on that later, and you will see how that impacts our revenues from Google when she does the presentation. While the advent of digital satellite broadcasting has seen pay TV operators increasingly penetrating the audience segments that have been the preserve of the SABC as a public broadcaster, while that has been happening, we have also been aware of the additional burden that sits on us. That is the burden to literally breast the audiences that have flown to the commercial space back to us. Having said that, I think it's important for you for me to just share with you what the industry outlook for 2010 to 2015 is, so that you can understand where the statements I've been making are coming from. PwC did a study, and that is what this outlook is based on. And this study suggests that while in 2010, the television market was responsible for 8.6 billion rand, in 2015, the growth will only be about 4 billion, which will be a 7.9% compound annual growth rate. CAGR means compound annual growth rate of only 7.9 million. So the growth there is not as exciting as we would like it to be. Now remember, within this space, we are developing DTT, and we are needing to raise revenue that will play out on our DTT platform. Online advertising is set to grow by quite a high percentage of 28.9, from 9 million in 2010 to 32 million in 2015. I would assume that as we get more and more households linked to internet, that this level of online advertising will grow, because advertisers just want to know how many hits does a page get. Now, if the SABC gears up its availability on the internet and ensures that whatever is in there is highly interesting and compelling, advertisers will come on board. Now, that is the share, that is the total that is available to share at this point. Mobile advertising, from 2010 there was nothing, to probably around 22 million. I think that number is a bit conservative, but I will leave it to the experts who are PwC to go and review and correct. because when you look at the penetration of mobile units within South Africa, it is so high that it doesn't make sense that advertisers should not be finding it very attractive to put advertising on mobile TV. Total TV advertising, therefore, is going to grow to 12.654 million. And another area of very rapid growth is subscription spending. Subscription spending is the spend that is invested by people who have direct-to-home television. And these are largely the satellite television providers. I do not think I should mention their names. Their subscription spending has shot up from 9 billion in 2010 to 17 billion in 2015. Now, what that means is that the SABC is going to be very challenged to compete with those kinds of numbers. We are not in the subscription space. We are free to air. We're going to have decoder boxes that people will still be able to access as free to air. However, that doesn't necessarily translate into cash, which currently is going to the subscription providers. What it does do, though, is it enjoins us to again raise the quality of our content to the point where we can get back those people who have gone to subscription services. Our license fees, given the current rate at which they are paid, we do not see them going much higher than a growth of 1%. By 2015, we will have grown only by about 50 million from a base of 1031 in 2010. A very worrying aspect because we need to grow our license fee revenue. I'm not sure if it is safe to mention this here, but one of the things that has been said quite clearly is that we are not going to be able to compete effectively because people who buy into the decoder box, into subscription services, tend to believe that they have no reason to pay the SABC license fee. They argue that I have this box. By the service provider, I'm paying a monthly subscription. Why should I pay for TV? It's a big education matter. We recognize that. We have to go back and re-educate the public. However, we also need this house to help us turn legislation around. Currently, we have no legislative protection around collection. The ideal should be that those service providers who are on satellite, who are subscription providers, and therefore sit with the database of high-income earners, who are the very people who are saying they don't want to pay their license fee. We need to find a workable solution between ourselves and them. Currently, they see no obligation to help us collect our fee from those people. And we really are powerless there. And they are, once again, I must repeat this, it's the high-income earning group that is refusing to pay. The people who pay their TV licenses, when Google exposes to you how much we are actually receiving in revenues, are people who are in the low-income group. Okay, my team says I must skip the 7 slides. And I think I do have to listen to them because they are my bosses. This just goes on to explain further what I have been talking about in terms of the growth in the television market in millions. It's just a graphic to help you understand that. And this one as well is a graphic that speaks to the same matter. Subscription households, I think this is a very keen slide that I must talk to. From 2011, one of the biggest subscription companies set with 3.5 million subscribers. In terms of this slide, by 2015, Selfie Sitting with 4.75 million subscribers. And these, again, are the same people who say they don't want to pay TV licenses. I think it's important to note that we are going to struggle. I will skip this slide. And that. Now, here's an important slide. In terms of license fee collection, in 2011, we're seeing 1.044 billion collection. The growth by 2015 will only make a difference of about 800 million. It's not much at all, certainly not enough to enable us to be sustainable on this side of the business. I don't think it's necessary for me to go through to this slide. Perhaps I should go to this one. This is really kind of like a concluding slide that talks to the advertising industry outlook. I think it's important to note that in terms of public client funding, we are going to be remaining flat unless something dramatic happens. And this house helps us to fight that battle and get more money. We're currently sitting at 450 million. By 2015, we have gone up by only 14 million. Not sufficient for us to do what we need to do on DTT. The radio market, on the other hand, is a very strange market. If the radio has the highest level of penetration, it attracts the highest audiences. People who can't afford television have radio up. When we talk about the numbers of listeners on Ukhozi FM or any one of the radio stations for that matter, they're extremely high. However, the advertising industry completely undervalues those audiences for some reason. So the margins in terms of our charge rate, for advertising on radio are so small that they are almost insignificant. If you look at this slide, by 2015, we actually do not see ourselves having moved much more than the current 3.4 billion. We're only anticipating a growth to 4.2 billion. Hardly enough for us to continue doing what we do. Radio remains a very important component for target audiences and customers. It reaches an unprecedented amount of people. It has the ability to connect with its intended audiences and to create a bond. It reaches 90% of the population, but the revenues out of there do not reflect the same. Here's a quick slide that I'd like to share with you that shows you what happened with the penetration of pay TV operators. Unfortunately, maybe I should stand for a second, point properly, at what I'm talking about. The orange circle is where the pay TV market currently sits. What this grid shows you at the bottom is the spread of lifestyle measurements as calculated within the population of South Africa. The current highest number of people within LSM1 are black. LSM2, LSM3, LSM4, 5, and 6. very hard. Traditionally, the SADC has been servicing all of them. The yellow circle shows where we service all of them in terms of television. That blue line shows that for SABC radio, we target and we reach all fans. Everybody in South Africa does listen to radio at some point or another. What is happening now is while the pay TV operator historically targeted white and higher LSM levels, and maybe it's wrong to just say white, we should say a broad range of high-income earners. It is now encroaching into the lower-income earners. So LSM 2 is now being encroached on. Sorry, LSM 6 is now being encroached on. And what this effectively means is, as SABC, we are losing more and more and more audience to the pay TV market. I think it's important to know that. And with the introduction of some very cheap decoder boxes that currently cost around 200 kilograms and bouquets as small as 59 rand, and I believe they're coming up with new bouquets that will be around 29 rand, it's a massive battle for the SABC. DTT certainly will put us in a highly competitive environment. Again, we have to up the content to get them back. I'm not sure if the members of the House would like me to speak to this, because it just further illustrates what is happening with the South African population. Perhaps it is an important slide. Maybe I should just make a few points. The first point is, more and more people are getting out of poverty. It's very important to note that. Between the year 2001 and 2012, we have seen a 21% shift in the reduction in the LSM 1 to 3 base. Now, LSM 1 to 3s are generally people who are on the social grant. Households that probably depend on one person who has a grant, mostly unemployed, and if they are employed, they are in sectors that really don't pay much and therefore could be regarded as perennially poor. People are coming out of that. The next band, which is LSM 4 to 6, we're seeing a dramatic growth in there, 47% of the South African population belonging to that level. And then in the high LSM as well, we can see massive growth. Again, what does this mean? People can afford subscription fees. I won't go into the slide. I think I've made a point on the challenges we have with competition. If I can go into the broad strategic objectives. I'm sorry, I skipped one more slide because I felt I've made a point sufficiently around audience movements and the challenges. If I go to the SABC's broad strategic objectives, the biggest one is restoring the liquidity status of the organization, embarking on the and implementing the accelerated turnaround strategy, which will address, again, revenue enhancement, cost containment, and meeting the government guarantee conditions. That is viable for us now. And I think I must assure the House that while we still use the word turnaround, it's important to know that we are making this standard business practice now. SABC now operates as a very tightly managed organization, which puts risk assessment, risk management, and risk mitigation at the center of its business. Because we are determined not to go back to the state we found ourselves in 2008. Increasing and maintaining audiences across all platforms remains central as it is free being key in our drive for the delivering DCP. Restoring the integrity of the SADC, increasing revenues, increasing our share of advertising spend, identifying wastage and implementing effective cost-cutting measures, putting in place innovative and cost-effective technology platforms and infrastructure, involving the public in defining SADC's policies through the review of editorial policies in line with legislative requirements. I think it's very important for me to just add to that bullet point number 9. The current debate around the role of the CEO in editorial, as the chief, the editor-in-chief, has obviously raised a lot of debate. We want to encourage, we are encouraging that debate. We have started having forums. The team that is developing the review process of the editorial policies has been in roadshows and on the content, the normal content other than news. The platforms, television in particular, has also been on a roadshow to assess what it is that the public believes editorial control should be. We hope once that process is completed, which will be at the end of this financial year, because we want to really apply our minds to it. We want to come up with something that will be watertight. We will come back after the board has entertained, has satisfied itself that what we are saying is correct. And when it's gone back to the shareholder and the shareholder has approved it, we hope that next time we come to do our strategy presentation, we will be able to present to you a much more meaningful editorial policy. We are in the process of defining our operating model, where we will be aligning our businesses very tightly. And while we're talking about the operating model, I think it's very important for me to talk to the question of people. The question around managing costs and headcounts has come up very frequently in a number of forums. And that question has a reason, because a view was held in 2010 that one of the biggest problems the SADC had at the time was bloated staff, and that the bloated staff was costing the public broadcaster a lot of money. In terms of the guarantee, government guarantee, we were required to cut down staff numbers substantially. Google has the figures, and she will share those with you. Now, here's the reality for the SABC. The people who are currently at the SABC have very intense knowledge of the business. They are experts in broadcasting, in on-air work, in various aspects of the SADC business. We have agreed that we're going to go into the DTT space. The DTT space suggests that we could have a maximum of 18 new TV channels. We have told ourselves that we will probably start with 9 TV channels, although we will phase them in between this financial year and the next financial year up to 2015. We will phase them in. As a new channel comes up, it requires warm bodies. It requires people to run the channel. We therefore believe that strategically, it may not be correct to start shedding people at this point. We have a skills audit that's about to be concluded. We will soon be seeing the results of that audit. And the intention of that audit is for us to assess, given the new business environment we're moving into, and the human capital requirements that the business environment will demand, we are going to be reviewing all the people that we have, what their skills are, what training they require. In other words, we're going through a whole organizational development process. Once we have understood fully, and I must add there before I move on, that the trade unions are fully on board with us on this matter. They had a full briefing, and they're in agreement with us that they want to see people gainfully employed. Once we have concluded that process, we're going to be matching the skilled people, as the skills as represented by each individual within the organization, to positions which will have spelled out the skills that would be required for that position. So there's going to be a lot of realigning, a reassignment of people, and we have accepted that. In some instances, people may say, well, you know, I'm a general manager. Now you're asking me to go and be a specialist in scheduling. That's a drop in my status. We will not drop salaries. It's illegal to do that. However, people may say, you know, my ego is bruised because now you're saying I must go into scheduling and this is what I'm called. And then we'll enter into a different conversation and say, do you want to be part of the future or do you not want to? If they say they don't want to, then we will agree on a separation. But I'm convinced that the majority of SABC people are looking forward to this. People want to be able to do their jobs with dignity, and they do know that for them to do their jobs with dignity, they must have meaningful jobs. And one of the things we're going to be doing is job enrichment, where a person may be called an administrator and that's all they know themselves as, and if there are additional functions that they can do, we will add them on. So while I'm saying we're going to be needing warm bodies, I'm not saying we're going to be going on a big full-scale recruitment drive. What I am saying is we're going to look at the people that we currently have that we are not going to be retrenching at this point. In fact, I'm trying to burn the word retrenchment, because it's a slightly irresponsible word, if I may say so. Then we will realign and move the organization forward. So I beg that the question of the bloated stuff be struck from the roll.
You are trying, but
I'm trying very hard. I'm trying very hard. We need those people and those skills. I think the strategic pillars have been mentioned over and over again. I won't go through that slide again.
Probably the CEO, before you continue, it's 11 o'clock, it's tea.
Okay.
We will have to break for 10 minutes for the tea, and then we come back. I hope when we come back, you'll have the key. Members are anxiously waiting to see practically what you are saying in terms of taking them through. How are you going to do what you are saying? The sooner we get there, the better.
Okay.
On the actual of 2012, 2013, what is it you are going to do
practically
to do these things and so on? So when we come back, we want to move towards that.
Okay.
I deliberately allow you to go through. Because also some members for the first time to interact at this length with SABC and so on. But when we come back, we come to the business of the day.
That's wonderful, Chair. Okay. So effectively, when we come back, the CFO will take the members through the quarterly MTF allocation for this financial year. And I think that is where you will see the real needs coming through. And then she'll take the members through the financials.
No, that will be fine. Can we break for tea, 10 minutes, then we start when you come back? Out of this, you add one.
what is going to be used at 2.
Then we relocate to V454 after lunch. V454. CEO, can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. I'd now like to hand over to Gugu to take the members through the quarterly key performance indicators. And then after she's done with that, she'll go into the financials. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO. Members, if I may direct you, we are going to go through the supplementary information that was submitted for review of the quarterlies. And the reason for this is that we've had the benefit of the AG coming to train us on Monday, as the week before, on how to make our measures smart. So we are still on a learning curve. I'm sure everyone else is trying to go there. What I have done is that you have been provided with a Word document, and on the PowerPoint, I have just translated it into PowerPoint for presentation. Otherwise, everything is the same. It's a copy, cut, paste, just for presentability on the PowerPoint. So we may not be able to be picking up page by page, but in terms of the core elements, they will all be one after the other. Thank you. I tend to have problems with my eyes. But the most important one that we're going to start with is the revenue enhancement. If we look at the strategic objective there, it's in line with our turnaround strategy, where we have to be focusing a lot more on our revenue. The key deliverable for us in terms of delivery of revenue is that we must exceed the approved financial targets. And we're very mindful that we also have to measure ourselves against the government guarantee targets. And when I go through the financials, I will summarize in a nutshell whether we are moving in a positive direction to meeting the government guarantee. Of the revenues, I have split them in terms of their key elements. On indicators, that's the third column that you see there, is each element of the revenues. So in terms of other revenues, comprising of government grants also there, it's really a line that we don't have much control over. It's an allocation from where the shareholder also gets their allocation. The quarterly numbers are split in terms of per quarter. We have done cash flows, and that's 161 per quarter, self-explanatory. On advertising revenue, we are also cognizant that we will have some challenges with some legislation that must come in during the year on the ban of alcohol. And internally we have, and we are working on risk mitigation of this maybe materializing. But what we are projecting right now is 4.3 billion, where we have not taken into account any impact if there is alcohol ban. And on the quarters, we always do very well in the first quarter and second quarter and third quarter. But on the fourth quarter, that's towards the December holidays. Advertisers tend to not advertise during January, Feb, March, but they build up most of their advertisement in December, and that's why you're seeing the third quarter being very good. So we're always down on our fourth quarter revenue. Sponsorship, again, we've assumed no ban on alcohol. We are projecting 387 million for the year. If I may just talk a little bit at the sponsorship, which I will also, you will see in our revenue, is that the environment when the government guarantee was made on sponsorship, we were at all-time highs in terms of the World Cup. And subsequent to that, sponsorship has taken quite a knock in general. Even other sporting events are also experiencing this, likes of cricket, South Africa, even before their scandal. It's challenging to put money into sponsorships because advertisers are looking for guaranteed audience ratings, and that's where most of the money is going lately. In sponsorship, we're also projecting the first quarter and the last quarter not so high. Again, the first quarter, be mindful that it's the start of our financial year and also that we start building momentum in quarter two and three. And quarter four is really where we start also planning for the following year. Our TV licenses, our CEO has touched on the challenges that we have for TV licenses. And as we've seen, the PwC report has also supported that in terms of growth for TV licenses. But what I would like to highlight is that we think we will bring in 920. That's about 50 million more than what we've done this year. In TV licenses, the way we recognize it in terms of revenue is only on cash collected. So this year, although we've collected R1 billion in cash, it was some of it belonged to cash in advance. So we can only recognize for what we've collected for the year and what was due. So we do believe that we can do a little bit more here with the health of the honorable members, that some of the initiatives that we've asked for example, a moratorium on TV licenses, where we encourage people to forgive the debt that they have built up over the years and rather focus on the current and collect it there, because it makes much more sense for us to say we start on a clear slate. We have not built it up in the debtor's book anyway. The other one is also the tariff increases, which we've applied for, and that will also depend whether they do come through, but we don't anticipate any growth in TV licenses. Again, we are gearing to collect a lot more as the year progresses. In quarter one, it's a little bit slow as usual, but throughout the year, we are planning to collect a lot more. If we still stay on revenue, one of our most important revenue sources is classical advertisement, which is at 4.3 billion. Some of the strategic objectives aimed there is that we aim to deliver a pricing model that will extract maximum revenue from advertisers. What does that mean? It means that the way we package our advertisement, we want to diversify from over-reliance on prime time. It means we have to engage also in the number of minutes that we have available for advertisement. And we also have to be very innovative in terms of how we offer an audience rating trading model, and therefore optimizing the inventory that we have. Space that is unsold. So we're going to maximize possible partnerships and also encouraging advertisers to move into those slots with very good packages. In terms of our indicators, what is it that we want to deliver? We want to deliver a fully operational 36-month revenue forecast aligned to the cross-functional multi-platform. This will be achieved with a lot of focus that the CEO has talked about in terms of alignment of our business and the way we work, aligning how we buy content, how we schedule. But importantly, it talks to schedule stability, which is a key focus of the organization in terms of operational excellence. And we believe that with the partnerships that we have now concluded, the likes of Safa, where we have gone to them and said, let us plan around when we're anticipating games, you know, way in advance, so that we do as little as possible disruptions to our scheduling, so that the advertisers buy what is available and the bums that have to sit on the seats to watch the television shows that they want to advertise for. So we're guaranteeing a lot more stability to our scheduling. In terms of quarter one, what is it that we will be delivering? We'll be delivering a conceptual trading and pricing model. And that again talks to the stability that we are introducing in quarter one. That is a key deliverable. In quarter two, we will maximize in terms of managing our inventory, making sure, again, that shoulder time is offered and the way we're packaging our pricing model makes sense for the SABC and for the partners that advertise. Quarter three, we'll be delivering a marketing to trade plan. And in quarter four, we'll deliver implementation of a new trading model that is aligned with all our multi-channel environment, taking into account also the launch of DTT at that stage. I'm going to move on to the next strategic objective, which is the management of people cost. In line with our turnaround strategy, it is important for us to be managing our costs. And one of the key elements in our costs is people costs. We have other costs in terms of amortization, where we're investing in rights and property, IP. On the people cost, my CEO has already touched on some of the initiatives we're going to be going through. I'm just going to go through each one of them, but it is really much aligned to to the people's the skills audit that we'll be undertaking, that we understand how we align the vacancies. So when we look at our indicators for our budget, we will keep our budget at 1.9 billion for people cost. And what we will do throughout the course are a few activities. The first one is that we are going to board to cap this amount, that we will not exceed 1.9 billion. And in quarter one, how are we going to do that? Is we're going to make sure that on a quarterly basis, we are very strict about quarterly reporting of financials, and we ensure that the responsibility will take that we will limit on those lines in terms of our key controls. The vacancies that are not in the system will not be going through without any proper consultation and approval, and business cases will have to be followed. And where it is a business imperative for a vacancy to be approved, there will be rigorous thoughts put to it. But one of the other things we've done in the budget, which is quite new, is that we have also locked the budgets and said the budgets are locked, so therefore we're not going to be considering any further increases to staff numbers unless you should have asked for that in your budget in advance. And we will make sure that there's a pool that has to be shared for any vacancy increases, but we will not be considering individual criteria, but there will be a company-wide review when we go through what the staff cost needs are and in relation to the company, how important it is to generating revenue. Again, in quarter 2, 3, and 4, we're keeping the amount at 488 million. Quarter 1 is less because the assumption is that you don't necessarily get new people starting right now. There's a time and a lag to making the appointments that are necessary, and we know that within our top structure, there's still certain appointments that still have to be made. The permanent CTO, we've just made a permanent company secretary, and also the permanent positions for GE of News and GE of Television. The next activity is we will identify and remove all vacancies not aligned to the structure. The skills audit is part of us delivering on this, and once we have found that there are some non-aligned vacancies, we will remove them procedurally as intended. And from quarter 2, 3, 4, we will start now implementing that six-layer flat structure and continue implementation and review. One of the important things, though, I need to mention here is that we are already in a process where management is engaged in their performance contracts. So it is important to note that the performance contracts will be a key driver for us to deliver on these. Leave and overtime management, our intention is to reduce this by 5%, and also the leave liability, which is growing as salaries are growing. We also limit it to 10%. We will encourage staff to take as much leave as possible. We will enforce policies in terms of if you have not taken leave, then you are going to forego it in terms of what the law offers. In each quarter, we are aiming quarter one for a 1% reduction on overtime. In quarter two to quarter three, a 2% reduction on overtime, and 2% on leave and 5% respectively on leave reduction. By quarter four, after we've done the skills audit and we have a workforce that we believe is efficient and can deliver, we want to eliminate overtime so that we are at a point where a person has a requisite role and they're able to deliver on that role as intended and needed. The next strategic objective that we're looking at is the elimination of wasteful and fruitless expenditure. What are we going to do in terms of key deliverables is that we're going to implement strategic sourcing across all the group executives and shared responsibility. Again, this is where we are going to be strict with our KPIs and performance management. Deliverable for 12-13 years is that we should have no wasteful or fruitless expenditure. We might still have some which is irregular, meaning that at time of transaction, maybe the contract was not complete, but we will enforce the completion therefore, but the wasteful will definitely be eliminated. One of the key focuses of my areas is controls, rigorous control framework that we will be putting in, and that means that in quarter one, we'll be delivering a control framework that will be complete, and we will start now educating and creating awareness in quarter two and making sure that we align it with appropriate systems that are needed and that the staff will have their KPIs also aligned to control in quarter three. And in quarter four, we will measure ourselves and we aim to get a target between 75 to 100% where KPIs are satisfactorily delivered on the controls within the areas that we're expecting them. The next strategic objective is the delivery of a multi-platform, multi-channel SABC. And one of the key deliverables there is the launch of DPT. Might I add that the CEO has really made those concerns that our funding model needs to be finalized in terms of being able to deliver on these. With respect to this particular aspect, we see it as contingent on funding. This is our wish list. This is what we would like to do. But we cannot deliver it all without the necessary funding that will be accompanied with it. And we have taken into consideration that although we are sitting in a very good cash operating position, for us to successfully deliver on DTT, we need to be mindful that our cash is limited and we don't want to be in a situation where our cash flows are negatively impacted again. The key indicator and delivery for 2012-13 year is that we will deliver 6 new channels. And in quarter one, there will be the planning for the 24-hour news service. I emphasize news service because it's not just about channels. It's about running and creating a 24-hour news and where we can be able to make sure that we can service the channel, but the 24-hour news service we needed up and running. In quarter two, we'll have the trial of the 24-hour news service. That means gathering of the news on a 24-hour basis. That means the shifts have to be aligned in terms of what we want to do on a 24-hour session. Then we will also start planning of the 5 new channels. And in quarter three, we will run the trial for the 5 new channels and begin the 26-month content development and acquisition. And in quarter four, we aim to launch DTT with a minimum of 6 channels. Again, very contingent on funding. In terms of the radio stations, we would like to have a DTT platform where 19 of our radio stations are running on DTT. We will begin with our migration plans in this quarter. In quarter two, we will now test whether the migration can be possible for 5 radio stations, and in quarter three, do the test for the remaining, and at the end of that of the year, launch all stations. We would also like to have 4 new radio stations on DTT, and we will develop the business case for this year for the new DTT radio station. We will not be delivering those 4 new stations. Those were intention to deliver in 2013-2014, but that the business case, a robust business case, will be delivered for this year. And what we will do throughout the year is really much more related to the delivery of the business case. I will not go through each one of the steps there because the key deliverable will be in 2013, and I'd like us to focus ourselves in measuring that at 2013 in terms of the steps we will take to deliver that for new radio stations. The next one is the satellite launch of SABC Sport, and the key deliverable for this year is that the SABC Sport channel to be on satellite and DTT. We will deliver in quarter one a comprehensive business plan that will be for approval by Group Exec and the board, and in quarter two we'll submit the business plan to the board for approval, and we'll also commence with the divisional structural alignment of content and where the channel has to be for the sports channel. We will also need to recruit, as sports at the moment does not have a full-time channel. We are running a lot of it on existing channel 1, 2, and 3. So that will probably require its own channel managers and also the need for more full-time people. But as I say, the business case will give us the information of what is needed. Quarter three, again, will be the test and the necessary recruitment of the identified resources. And we hope in quarter four to launch that business, that sports channel. As we move on, the next strategic objective is to deliver a multi-platform, multi-channel SABC offering informed and driven by audience needs. What does that mean for us? It means that the launch of the SABC DTT requires us to plan around 12 channels. And this is the indicator. And we have said we will deliver... Okay. All right, so the six new channels we will deliver in this year. The first thing we'll deliver, the 24-hour channel. We'll do the trial for the 24-hour channel, and then the trial for the five other channels and the launch at the end of the year. The SABC radio stations, we've talked about the 19 that will be delivered and how we will do it, and the four new channels that will be added on. I think this is a slight repeat of the previous slide. Yeah, it's a repeat. Sorry for that. It's a repeat. Thank you. Okay. Am I moving on? Okay, thanks. All right. And then continuing on to sports. Yeah. Okay, thanks. Thank you. I've just been corrected there that it's just a carry-on from the sports side now that I'm moving on to. Carrying on the sports chart, on the sports channel, for 2012 again, we would like to deliver a sports channel. It will really be great for the SABC as it means there will be less interruptions to our scheduling and that programs do not have to be displaced. Again, this is funding contingent, but it is a necessity for the SABC. This is where we do believe that we can now start delivering fully on the mandate where we are carrying sports of national interest as is intended and also even if it's minority sports without consideration of displacement of content that we already have and also the negative effect on the revenues if and when it is not a planned event that we have to capture. In quarter one, again, it will be the development of the business plan. Quarter two will go through our necessary approvals in-house and make sure that there's recruitment on that side, and in quarter four, launch that channel. The next one is a satellite launch of SABC News and Sports. This is really a summary of both the Sports and the News channel in terms of delivering it, and it is a summary of what will happen, as I had already gone through with the honourable members in terms of each quarter, so I won't speak to it again. The SABC 24-hour News channel will now be on DSTV, and I'm sure you've noted that in the presentation. Before, there was an intention that it might be on SABC3, but there has been a resolution that it is going to be launched on DSTV. This is very good news for the SABC because that means we're able to get into subscription television. It also gives us an advantage to test our readiness and ourselves for DTT. So it is a wonderful opportunity for us in terms of getting ourselves ready for DTT. Again, we intend to have completed the planning of that in quarter one and the trials to start running in quarter two in terms of the infrastructure and also in quarter three where we will now launch the dependent on business case and budgetary approval. We will ensure that we now get to the workflow and start the services of the News 24 running on a 24 basis. If we move on, there are a few highlights in terms of how we will get to this launch of the TV programming online. And most of those indicators is that we will do it on the online will be in 2015. So the work that we will focus on in this year is really on the strategy and the business case and development. So I will not go through each quarter, but that is what we will deliver, develop a strategy that we can implement for the year going forward. Delivery of SABC Mobile TV, the 2012 delivery is that we should be at the point where we are testing the pilot. And the CEO did mention some of the activities that we'll be doing for testing the pilot. We will continue with the mobile testing and we will, after testing and analyzing the results, now be able to select the standard on which we want to launch it on and finalize the business case. And we will also continue with the testing once the board is also approved, and we hope that in the year 2014-2015, that will be when we are implementing and launching it. The delivery of SABC online radio streaming model, that is of the 19 radio stations, the streaming, and currently we do have some of our radio stations that are online. As you know, Metro FM is online, 5 FM is online, and Ukozi and also Good Hope, and they're doing very well in terms of their online media strategy. And we hope to take the key learnings from there and implement them across the business, and that is where the Q2 initiatives will be focused on aligning the IT and also the capabilities in the group to deliver on the other radio stations. We will launch 50% of the remaining radio stations online in Q3, and then in Q4 we intend to have delivered all of them to be streamlined on online. The next strategic objective is where we are aiming to minimize audience losses in multi-platform and competitive environments. This is very much dependent on compelling content, and we do believe that with the relaunch of SABC3, with the intention for content, we will compete and we will be aligning ourselves, irrespective that we are not in paid TV, irrespective that we have mandates, that we will meet our mandate and still deliver a compelling content to the population of South Africa. We would like to maintain a 58% average audience rating in the market, and a 60% share of market. And that is going to be quite exciting for us, because there will be new entrants in the market. And for us to remain at 60%, that means internally we're going to be very aligned and we're going to keep a good eye on our content and monitor it. I will move on to the next one, which is on the following page. Still continuing on minimizing audience losses. What will we do in terms of PBS? We will aim for a 56% market share. In terms of PCS, we'll aim for 11% market share, and we'll want to keep that constant throughout the year. On PCS, SABC, LSM 7 to 10, we would like to be at 18% and be consistent in terms of keeping that at 18%. It is important for us not to have too much volatility in this area, and that is why we have committed to that rate, keeping it very constant and monitoring it. The next key deliverable is to grow current audience share in Santex satellite television platform. That is in 2014 to 2015. As discussed, we have said we will now look more at the 2012 deliverables, so I will also not go thoroughly into that one, but that it is in line that we are planning in horizons and not only for 2012. Then I will move on to the next strategic objective, which is deliver a central audience and content-driven TV intelligence gathering mechanism. In 2012, what we want to deliver is TV audience and competitive intelligence hub. Q1, we will begin establishing this hub, in Q2, also to continue with the establishment, and in Q3 and Q4, once the hub is established, we'll just continue to make sure that we draw from the hub in terms of the intelligence we need to keep us well informed. The next key strategic objective is the repositioning of SABC3. SABC3 repositioning is very central to the turnaround strategy. And for this year, we would like to achieve an audience rating of 14%. For audience share for SABCC. And in Q1, because we are ramping up, we are looking at a 12%. Currently, members, you might be interested to know what it is. It is 11.9 at the moment. So we are just there on the brink of it. Q2 is 12%. From Q3, as the marketing of this channel and the content comes through, we will start seeing that attraction back into SABCC. So we are looking at an increase there to 12.5% and in Q4, 13%.
Chinua.
Thank you, Chair. It's just on these figures which are on page 95 of the strategic report. If I'm looking at the right place, that the figures you've just given are different to the ones that are in the quarterly report. And this is a document that's lodged in Parliament. So, you know, what do we measure you on? On your presentation slide or on the strategic report? You know, it's a problem we've had with all the documents by all the entities throughout this entire budget cycle. And I mean, I think I have three versions of this particular sector of the presentation. It's quite difficult. You do your homework on one. You get given one in here, and then it's still different to the one that's presented. It becomes a bit of a nightmare.
Madam Kinnock?
I fear that I will have another cough session, but I just have to say this. I agree with the Honourable Shane. I was actually discussing this with the Honourable Stein next to me. The issue is that the SABC board must just realise that it could create an issue of credibility. Are these figures not tweaked afterwards because they were unrealistic in the first instance? And secondly, I want to know, why is it that we don't have the current reality? In other words, the baseline as we stand. How do we determine if the strategic objective and the so-called SMART approach is really going to be achievable? Is this not just something that is being sucked out of somebody's thumb? Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Let me deal with that matter once and for all. This was a document submitted to Parliament. I think that summit up. So we are going to account based on this. This is what is in Parliament. So the figure which we'll go with or which we need to is from this document. Because that's what was formally submitted on the 7th of March and so on. But during the question time, probably you can come back to the figure. But whatever you do, you must bear in mind that the formal document of Parliament is this one. So whatever you do, just remember. Because you see, we can't keep with the changes. Like they are saying, there have been a lot of changes which have been happening throughout and so on. But for now, there was no indication of changing the document. Others we gave them an opportunity to withdraw their document and resubmit changes and so on because they applied to do so and so on. But in this case, we just have this document. So this is your bypass. You are going to be asked based on this document by the members. Can you continue?
Okay. Chair, should I answer some of the questions or much later?
You will answer on the question time. As for now, continue the presentation.
All right. Thank you very much. If we move on to the following strategic objective, we're looking at the management of costs of content acquisition. And the key deliverable for the 2012-13 year is that we should be delivering 50% of CPI costs per minute increase. And this will involve the various costs of how we're going to do it, is manage commission costs, to ensure overall CPM of 50% of CPI. And in quarter two, the same, 3 and 4. So for this year, we are aiming to come at that 50% of CPI for cost per minute. The following one is improved amortization of stock. We aim to make sure that we are using our content fully. And that is why the alignment with content buying and content scheduling is going to become very important for us in reducing the amortization, in fully utilizing the stock that we have on hand. In terms of 100% recruitment, the way we account for our stock is when we buy it, we need to use it all. So the 100% recruitment means that we are intending to use all the content that we have. And for this year, in terms of amortization, we plan to amortize 1.56 billion. And this is only on TV for 987 million. And the other part will be on radio. We'll manage our stock and exploit it fully to us, this is one of our key deliverables in terms of control. We'll make sure that the planning and the operational and the financial people all talk together in terms of reconciliation and exploitation of the stock. And we'll also, at the end of the year, achieve the budget that we've set for amortization of stock. The following key strategic objective is implement a single transversal multi-channel platform, content planning, acquisition, and scheduling process. I have been talking about this integrated business practice of making sure that we align from content buying, scheduling, and selling throughout so that we can maximize our inventory. What do we aim to deliver in this year is really that cross-platform content planning, which is fully integrated throughout the businesses. So in quarter one, is to establish that cross-divisional long-term planning mechanism where our sales team talks to the content buyers talk to the schedulers, the scheduling talks to TV and sports, and everyone understands that of the hours we have, this is how much we can deliver. In quarter two, we will continue to monitor on the budget and make sure that everything is aligned. And quarter three and four also, it is continuation of working together on the cross-platform content planning. And the next slide is a duplicated table from slide 96, so I will move on from it. Again, it's a repeat of what I have just gone through. The following strategic objective is implement a spot operating model that will deliver compelling, cost-efficient, compliant, and commercial sports programming. What does that mean for the SABC? It means that in terms of sports, we will become more structured in terms... Okay, you're on page 17 of the handouts of the Word supplementary document. Thank you, Dimitri. Page 17 of the supplementary handout.
Page 17.
Thank you.
Do you get it? Thing? Question there. How do we jump from 9 to 17? Are we going to come back to some of the others, or are they in fact now no longer applicable? From between 9 and 16 pages.
Just to talk to Mike.
Look, you see, the way you package your document, it seems to be a problem in terms of the numbering and so on. But probably pick up those things. But you see, the way we are going to do the document now, from page 8, we go to 17. It means we'll come back to 9, 10, that one, we'll just be going, that's bad. You don't do that. You don't do that when you package documents. But can you proceed then, and just give us where you are at a given point so that they were able to follow, but that's really bad. You don't do that. Document must be clearly packaged in a manner which is correct and so on. But you can proceed. And I wonder how does this document pass DOC in this manner? And they don't pick up some of the things. But then proceed, just take us through the pages. Seven.
I just wanted to make a precision. Because I think there's any change like that, people of many pages. It was not only on us to ask questions on that. You must just inform us before you proceed that these people come. Because you don't call all the pages to where are we. They must not tell us. So that it doesn't make life messy.
Thanks, just indicate the page as you move up and down. We will move up and down. It's fine. We'll end up finishing. But just tell us the page.
I have a proposal. I think when this content was being uploaded on the PowerPoint, some pages got skipped. So I would propose that we just refer to the document because it's an error. It's a serious error. The document is what we should be referring to.
Okay.
My apologies.
Seven.
From this side, you cannot only use this document. It's important to us to always refer
to the truth of the document this year will be. The most important thing is, as you said, whether you skip or you do what, just tell us which page are you in. But for us, it's important to use both of the documents from our side.
And sorry to call you Demi.
This is recurring, if you remember. This thing of all the time when you get a presentation which members are complaining about the packaging, the chronology that the ideas are following, oh, not just now with SAPC, with other entities. So I suggest that DOC gets somebody who's, I mean, authors get trained how to let ideas flow and pace them. It's not an easy thing. Don't think when you read, you take it for granted that it is easy. But I'm just saying that all the time ideas are muddled. When you have to read, everybody complains about which page is which, where must it go, and we spend a lot of time debating about paging, about just paperwork being properly arranged. So I suggest you seek somebody who will help all our entities about how to arrange this idea so that when they come here, they just flow and we can follow easily. Because it isn't happening, it is always a problem. We're not complaining for the first time with SAPC. We have complained many a time before. So I really think we must get professional help.
Thanks, Honorable Kagan.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I just want to know if the quarterly performance indicators aren't in the strategic report at all. So, which one of these documents are they going to lodge? Which one, and are they going to lodge it with Parliament as part of the strategic report? Because it's not in the specific figures, aren't there?
Okay. Probably let's reverse the question and finish the presentation. We'll go back on some of the issues which the members are raising. They also need the parliament processes and so on. Look, the issue which we have been saying, I don't understand because you are the last one, to present to us. And we've been battling with this matter since we started in the presence of DOC. And still, some of these things could not be picked up and be finalized in time and so on. And then it put us in a very difficult position as a committee on how to process this thing and move forward. I understand that partly it's you, but partly we've been having DOC in these meetings from the onset, and we've been clear in terms of how things must be. So it's a matter we should continue to engage with DOC because they've got the responsibility to see what comes before the committee and so on. But for now, we'll come back to the questions raised by the members. If you just proceed, but tell us which page exactly you are so that we're able to continue with that.
Okay, we will be on page 9 of the supplementary information, which is this document. And continuing from content management off. We intend to keep our sports costs at least at 10.5% of the total operating costs. As indicated before, our sports was above a billion at one stage. In this year's budget, we have budgeted for it to be at 647 million, and that is going to be because we want to negotiate better and be able to bring down the cost over the years. Quarter one, we will work very hard to have no budget overruns in terms of operational spot costs throughout quarter 2, 3, and 4 to ensure that we are staying within that 647 million, which represents 10.5% of our total operating costs. We would like to maintain 37.5% of our amortization to spots, which means that that's the amount you will spend on spot costs. For 30 March 2013, and again, no budget overruns anticipated in for sports. And in terms of the strategic objective, improving sports rights acquisition and expenditure, for 2013, we'd like to be at 5% of reduction on fees from previous financial years. And how we're going to achieve this is that the...
I don't have the code despite this. You never trust this thing to happen sometimes. And the public company is likely to take over in the early years. So that's why I was saying you can proceed, it's safe.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Right. On the quarters, we'd like to first at least achieve 2% reduction in quarter one, then another 1% in quarter two, and in quarter three, the other 2%, so that in quarter four, we've achieved across the board the 5%. Okay. The next page, we're moving on to page 10, which is behind page 9. Strategic objective, deliver a sports playout center. And what we would like to do in quarter in this year for 2012-13 is have CapEx spend of 15 million for the digital playout center for sports. In quarter one, we'll develop a comprehensive...
Probably just to help, if you say page 10, probably also can you get the page on this one? Because there is a back to try to check where... can you tell us on this one, which page? Probably. Because there's a continuous page. Members are trying to look at this and this at the same time.
Chair, if I may, if you may allow me, what we thought is it would create too much of a confusion between this document, going through to this document and the other document. When we put this document together, it was really because we had had training from AG in terms of how to make our deliverables achievable, smart, to be smart, whereas the other document is not really smart compliant.
I hear the smart and not smart is not an issue now. The issue is I've got members here. When I look at them, they are frustrated because they are trying to get this page from this document. Or what I'm asking, say page 10 of this page 18, and where is it on this big one so that they are, because I'm looking at them, and they are struggling to move around.
Chair, if you may allow me just to find my place also on the big one. I have not been using it. Okay.
Same. Well, Chair, I want to propose that we not even try and find it on this one, because the document in question is really this one. That's just a summary of what's in here. On this one, the one tabled in Parliament, that particular slide is, or well, that one line or row, let me put it that way, because it jumps all over the place. It happens to be on page 40, of 40. But I'm just talking about that one row, because it actually jumps, it doesn't follow this pattern.
Okay. You see, that's what happens when documents are confused, we all get confused. Just follow that. It's a common logic. Can others help us? I said, because you see, the formal document is this one. If others can help to identify the pages, but proceed with this one, but others must just help to identify the pages in terms of this document where they are. You can proceed. Yes, okay.
Thank you. Jenny, can you just help me with the numbers on the big document? All right, back to the small supplementary document. I'm on page 10. Let me just get an indication. What page is it, Jane, on the other one?
It's on page 40.
Okay, thank you. Okay. The key strategic objective that I am looking at now is a studio upgrade and digitization. And there we're looking at a CapEx spend of 30 million. And the intention for the year is that we should have delivered a project plan in terms of the CapEx that we want to spend. In the next key strategic objective is the production studio refurbishment, which will cost 57.5 million. And again, there the key deliverable is to deliver a project plan for the spending of that CAPEX. We move on to page 11 of 18 of the supplementary information. We have the risk section. If I may add, this section was repeated in the previous one where you had asked us why we had jumped. It's because we have done it twice. Embed risk management into the day-to-day activities of the corporation. At the SABC, risk management is really at an advanced stage right now, that we have a system operating and we have much awareness that's been created. The activities for the risk management, fraud and corruption implementation for this year are quite detailed per quarter. In quarter one on risk management, we will start implementing the risk system, which was chosen as CURA, and we will start training in quarter two on that risk system. And in quarter three, we will align and make sure that we are continuously monitoring and using the system and designing mitigation measures to minimize and manage risk. In quarter four, we plan to have a fully implemented risk system that is used and understood. In terms of risk management training and awareness, we plan to have the type of culture and awareness where we are introducing risk policies and frameworks. And in quarter one, we will now start choosing risk champions across the group who will represent each area of the business. And in quarter two, we want to embed a culture of risk management and continuous monitoring and also review against performance management in terms of all our day-to-day activities. Each person in the area will have a KPI for risk. That's the intention. Fraud corruption strategy implementation. This we plan to have delivered for the year, where we will start with the implementation of the strategy in quarter one, and we will continue with the relaunch of the whistleblowers hotline in quarter three, and also alignment to key performance indicators in quarter four. Okay. All right, the next one on our risk management is the embedded, the disaster recovery plan and business continuity plan. The deliverable for 2013 is that we should have implemented the disaster recovery and continuity plan. It must be fully understood and also members to be aware of it at the SABC of what happens if we have a disaster or how do we recover if there's business interruption. In quarter one, we will start with a comprehensive development of the plan. In quarter two, it will go for approval to the necessary committees. In quarter three, we will introduce the training and awareness. And in quarter four, we will expect the employees to start implementing and we will monitor and the knowledge of that plan. Okay, now to page 12, which is at the back of 11. It's a continuation again of our risk management. In a nutshell, our risk management is integral to our business. And in each quarter, members of the House, you might notice we have an activity that is intended to create a robust risk management process. And throughout, the themes are always about making sure that there's awareness, making sure that we are communicating, and making sure that the culture is led from the top in terms of risk management, and also that all KPIs are always aligned and reviewed in terms of our deliverables for risk management. On page 13,
sorry, Chair, I thought that you asked that somebody find what's in here.
Yeah, I'm trying.
I simply can't find what we've been told about anyway. So if somebody could assist me there, give us the page in the press claim, please.
Right. Honourable Member, I think you are looking at the corporate plan that was submitted, right? The corporate plan didn't have quarterlies.
Probably the problem is that now you are talking like one must talk and the other one must finish. I must give the other one an opportunity. They don't have to exchange anything.
Okay.
Let's get that clear. So don't enter into a discussion. We are not there. The member is saying, where is it on the corporate plan? Look.
We can't sit here and spend time on something which are not up here on your corporate plan. So what the member is trying to say, can you direct us on what is submitted on the 7th of March to Parliament? Where does this thing fall under so that we are able to go to that? That's what he said. Whether at that time was orderly or not orderly, but where is it on the corporate plan? That's where we must point out to, so that we are able to proceed. Honourable Seven.
I'm making a proposal, that in order to save time, because every time and again, we will say, where are we? What are you referring to? I'll propose that maybe we break for 5 minutes to give SABC a chance to do that. So that when they present, you just go straight to the presentation. All other issues will be raised during question time. Because otherwise, I'm telling you, we are going to be stuck here. Now, where are we? So that will be my concrete proposal.
Yes, Honorable Sir, can you be able to do that in 5 minutes? We must be out of here at one, and it should be done with everything at one, including your budget.
Yes, you can.
No. CFO, you see, you will have it tough. You don't talk before I say so. Don't respond direct to any other, otherwise you'll have it tough. And I'll just allow them to talk to you. You won't be able to manage anything. That will be a problem. Honorable Sir.
Because really, that's what I'm thinking, I think, because that is my proposal. But the other thing is that it's unfortunate you don't have time. This is our last week, we'll be debating next week. But really, if we had time, according to the Parliament timeline, SABC is not ready for this presentation. The documents are confusing. They're even confused with themselves. So if I'm not sure how the Parliament operates in terms of the timeline, because we're debating this. Maybe if we can also deal with that, maybe when they are breaking and dealing with this alignment of documents, all our own as members must also deal with that. That's my proposal. That will be possible for them to come back or what, if they cannot be able to sort out in those 3 minutes. But that one is for us. But really, I'm not convinced.
Can we conclude on this one, Honorable Keta?
Do you know when you're listening to a presentation, you want to hear this is the beginning, this is the point, this is the tail, this is where it is heading to, this is what you say. We just kind of bombarded with information that is thrown in. I'm just saying, to be honest, it isn't flowing. Let it flow. Ultimately, we must understand and follow it and take decisions. Now, if you just grab and throw, where will we end up? And this is what we expect, we experience that. We just thrown with information. People don't kind of take time to arrange it orderly so that the ideas flow, Even if they are problems, we can sit and listen and enjoy ideas and see that here people are really planning and they bother that you should understand. At times you feel, in all fairness, even people who are presenting themselves, they get confused because you've got to search for that idea. You don't know where you left it, in which document. We can't be doing research here. We are here to listen to presentation, which must make sense in the ultimate, so that we can be assisted to take decision. I just think really DOC must take this matter seriously, because all the time ideas are just all over, papers are just all over, and you're trying to use glue and bubble gum to bring them together here in a presentation. We can work like that. It is important that we be smart. But we can't cover things that are not really well organized by the way it's smart. So I really suggest, Chair, the break that we do, but also DOC realize that a lot of our entities will need professional help just in this thing of arranging papers and ideas when they come and present. Otherwise, it's so difficult to follow and ultimately help them to take good decisions.
Thank you, Honorable Pekan. As a DC, can you have your 10 minutes? But I want you to understand what you must do. I will repeat again.
You think
sometimes it becomes difficult. This is the document submitted to Parliament. What you'll be doing in your 10 minutes is to relate your presentation to this document. So that when you say page 13 of 18, at what page can we find it here? Because all what you should be presenting should emanate from this document. Even between you have changed documents and other things, it's something else, but for the purpose of this data and what is before Parliament is this document, which is existing. So can you help us when you come back to say page 13 of 18 you are dealing with this matter and which page is in this document? Now that will help us to move back. I'm sure that's what members are asking for. So have your 10 minutes to do that. But really, it's a problem. I hope the OC is listening. Probably maybe we need to have to take the matter with the minister in the kitchen for the OC, because this thing is a problem. And we cannot waste time of Parliament trying to deal with documents which pass through them. Therefore, there's a unit or a division in the department which is responsible for this thing. But if they don't happen, I don't understand what becomes the role of that unit or division. Because it's really just wasting our time and other things and so on. Have your 10 minutes and then you'll come back once we'll be discussing with the members some other issues. I don't know who must go out now. One day I said, members are few, let's go out. Then later, say, no, we can't move out. The visitors must move out. So I don't know where. Sit down so that we for the document to help us in terms of understanding. This is what the members are saying. They'll be able to help themselves if I misrepresent what they are saying. As the first issue, we just want to indicate that we seem to be having challenges within the Department of Communication in terms of managing this process of processing documents. As a first issue, want to raise that particular matter because members want that matter to appear on our final report, which we are going to present to Parliament. That there is, seems to be a challenge or weakness within DOC in managing this process. Hence, we have been having this problem from many entities as the one issue. But the issue is members are picking up, which also have to appear on our final report, is that these strategic plans which are submitted as required by Parliament, they seem to be done just to comply with the process. There is no integrity on those strategic plans. There is no enough effort and time put into those things. Hence, we find ourselves as a committee from time to time, people have to withdraw their strategic plan and resubmit it. It means the integrity of that process, which culminates to that process, is a challenge. It's a process managed by DOC, not by the entities. It's managed by DOC. So these two issues are matters which we have to battle with DOC and get DOC in terms of how to manage this thing, because surely there seems to be a problem around that particular matter and so on. So those are the key issues which members are raising in terms of moving forward on this issue and so on. We'll come to your issues. That was the issue. We'll come to your issues around this particular document and so on. I'm not sure whether you are able to find the document, because as you are going to continue with your presentation, one thing which you must do for us is that we want to understand if there are any different figures or differences between this document and the one which you are using to present. Those are the issues which you must be able to pick it up yourself as you are presenting and so on, so that it's not an issue which is raised by the members and so on. So I want to know whether there will be a discrepancy between the two documents. If there are any, you will have to pick them up and tell us this is a different figure which appeared to the other document and so on. If you can do that, that will assist us a great deal. So I hope now you'll be able to say 13 of 18, one page on the main document, and then you proceed with your presentation and so on. Deputy Chair?
Chair and honorable members, we want to regret the confusion that has been caused. We thought we were going to be smart, but the smart option is not working, it looks like. And I would want us to refer to the document that is a legal document that was submitted before Parliament. And I want to draw attention to page 41. If there are variants and variables in numbers, they will be explained by finance and by the CEO. So indulge us, sincere apology. We draw our attention to page 41 of the official document that we have been handed to. Thank you.
Thank you.
Breaking it down into quarterlies. that is the crux of the confusion. Otherwise, Chair, there is no difference. And once again, apologies. We tried to be smart as per the requirements, but clearly the smart has turned us into dancers. Now, I have put up on the projector there this document that was approved by Parliament. That was presented to Parliament. And it is a true and correct reflection of what the SABC is intending to do. I'm not sure, Chair, if I can explain it beyond that. And if the House, Chair, through you, if the House feels that this we should discard, we will discard. Like I say, the confusion was caused by being informed that we've got to have quarterly target stuff. And that's exactly what we did, and that's why we've come with this document. And that is why it is also labeled supplementary. So it supplements what's in here only from the perspective of target allocation per quarter for the current fiscal.
Thank you, Octan, Keelan, and Sink.
No, Chairperson. I think what is happening is that we are in agreement of this document. There's no dispute regarding this document. The clarity that we want is because this document doesn't have quarterly reports. So between these two, which one are we going to use? Because at the end of the day, as a portfolio committee must adopt, which one is the correct document between these two? And I can tell you that from our
CEO Kathleen, ningenza umsebenzi wami wenzimbi. Omunye nje akathule, omunye aqede, uzawurespond after.
So, Chen, again, saying we agree in terms of a legal document. But the issue here is between these two. And part of our discussion as a portfolio committee is that this information, whether you like it or not, is more detailed. It has what we want. This what you are saying is smart. I can tell you it's not smart. We also attended a workshop with AG. It's not smart. And this is what is causing confusion. But we cannot decide for you which one. So you must tell us. Because at the end of the day, you are the people who are going to implement whatever is in the strategic plan. We are not going to implement it. We are going to monitor you. So you must tell us what is the correct version between the two. But on this one, let us not talk to it again, because they are in agreement that this is the correct document, regarding the one that you're going to. This can just speak to this too. Not many explanations, Chair. Just to say, we'll use this one, and we'll continue. Then all the questions will raise them during question time.
Thanks. Madam Kidan.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think a little earlier I mentioned the importance of the integrity of the documentation. Now, the issue here is that we have a strategic plan with a lot of information, as well as the document that the group CEO presented to us, which is fantastic. It gives us a lot of background. My issue and my concern is, because it has to be done on a quarterly basis, one would have expected that you would start with a quarterly, because you have to do your budget planning to say, in quarter one, the TV 24-hour news channel cannot be operational because we're still going to present our business case. Now, if you have not given us the information in this, it makes one suspicious that now you're sitting with a figure, but now you're trying to break it down to give some figures to every quarter. Now, it's important for us, because we're passing a budget, and we must determine, is it a credible budget, is it a realistic budget, especially more so because the SABC is under scrutiny of their financial management. So my concern is exactly that. One should start with a building block, and in every key deliverable, it should have happened that you can say, you know, quarter one is not a good quarter for expenditure usually. It's usually in quarter two that things really get on the roll. But do we manage our income and our expenditure in such a manner that it makes good sense that we will have that money at hand in quarter one, quarter two, then quarter three? So I'm concerned that here in the document that was originally presented, the building blocks were not the quarters. Now we're getting a new document with a quarterly background, and now you think, but is that now realistic, or is it just a thumb suck that they've now given to us in respect of expenditure per quarter? So that is my concern. I agree with Honourable Tsebe that we are making reference to different documents, etc., and ultimately we must know, what are we going to measure you against? You know, if we can then say that this is a supplementary document, but my argument still remains, why is the quarterly breakdown only available now? And why was it not originally done? Because that is, according to my understanding, how budgets should be developed. Thank you.
Thanks.
Chair, I'm hoping I'm going to answer Honourable Killian's question about integrity as well. Let me just say to the SABC and the Group CEO in particular, I think we're trying to find a way out of this. And what we've agreed to is that this document has been submitted, we've got to work through it. But we're giving you the opportunity for us to adopt one of these two together with that document because it's got more information. All we need to know is, should we then at the end of the day say we've adopted these two, or do we say we've adopted that one and this one? Now, and I say this with the greatest respect to the Group CEO. I've picked up at least four, in all the confusion we've had, I've picked up four changes from this document to this, in terms of the annual targets. And I can point them out to you very quickly. On page 6,
Don't go into that.
Well, in one case, 60%, and I'm just talking about 12-13. I'm not talking about over the MTF period. So there are at least three or four instances where there's a difference to the annual target, not your quarterlies, from this document to this document. So if we, my follow-up question, Chair, is if we're going to accept this as an additional document to this, which we are quite prepared to do, we then need to know, are we going to use this information, whether that's right or wrong, to in fact monitor you? If you've got an annual figure here, are we going to use this one? I think that, if I summed it up correctly.
Shinwan.
I see documents here.
Just as a point of illustration, the problem that we have is that I have three documents here, and I'm looking at one specific issue, which comes under audience attraction and retention. In the bound document, it's on page 95. On the slide presentations on page 7, and in the strategic report, it's on page 40. And the item is reposition the SABC 3 and align it to changing market conditions and audience needs. The annual target, as presented in the strategic report, is an improved audience of, 12%. In this document here, on the abbreviated slide presentation, it's 14%. And on page 95, it's 16%. So within 2 days, we have a change from 16% to 14%, and in the strategic report, which was tabled 2 months ago, it's 12% on the same target, and that's an annual target. So we really don't know which figure to believe, or which of the alternatives we adopt.
Thanks, Honourable Sheen. But I hope now you understand what members want. If you do, can we break for lunch? Because now it's 1 o'clock. There's nothing we'll present in 5 minutes' time. When you come back, we deal with the issues members are raising. Look, that's why I was saying, under normal circumstances, you should just be taking your bags, going back, and come some other time when you are ready, because clearly there's a problem with the documentation and so on.
we go to this extent because we are trying to extend our hand and accommodate you. So help us to help you. When we come back at 2 o'clock, V75, not V454, V475. The other end, you know, the other part and so on. But when we come back, we need a flowing presentation. Because you see, the problem now is that it puts your documents, all of them, the integrity of those documents. Even other places, 16%, 14%, 12%, we don't know which percent to deal with. So that's the issue. It's not only about the confusion of the document, also about the changing of some of the features and so on. So can you go and deal with those issues? When we come back, we are able to go straight and continue the presentation flowing. Honorable Kekan?
Just a little bit. The other request is, please, when you prepare, and it happens to everybody, that's why I say maybe we need intervention of professionals to come and help people. I mean, when you present anywhere, there's a time scale. You can't just present forever. When you present and prepare your framework of the presentation, you work with him, you say to yourself, we members, we are told 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes at times, 2 minutes. So there must be a time scale where you put your presentation within a framework and say, I want this to be comprehensive, it must include everything, and this is how I can do it within 30 or 45 minutes. To be honest, even the mind gets tired, our mind, especially if it is something that, you know, we can't grasp and follow. So I request that when you go now, at least within a reasonable time scale, make sure that you can cover your things. Bila, in fact, I thought in communication when I was coming here, unlike police, army, journalists get taught how to write and present ideas, and therefore, you know, we're going to get. I'm surprised that it is so difficult even for journalists who are taught at school how to present their ideas. So, DOC, you really, really need to attend to this. Thank you. But I'm saying when you come back, let it be within a reasonable time.
Straight to the point, when we come back to the presentation and dealing with the issues which we have raised, we don't have enough time. We have to finish some of the work. We're meeting at D475 at 2 o'clock. It seems going to be a very, very long afternoon. If you've got a slide which is going out today, probably.